Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Fabulous. There we are. We get to go. I just sense as we were worshiping this morning that some of you were sitting there and going, I just want to sing songs where the words are up all the time. Do you know that sometimes you don't need to be directed? What actually needs to direct is what's coming out of you. And sometimes we're found wanting because we don't know what's in us because we're so directed all the time in life. And even in church, we do this, we do that, we do this because the preacher said or the leader said or we should or we've seen somebody else model it. What is the wellspring of life coming out of you? What is it? You got to discover it because my Bible says that rivers of living water will flow out of you. So not somebody else's river, your own river. So I would really find out and I don't know, maybe change your iTunes list for things that haven't got words. Just get some melodies going or whatever. And it's okay to sing, even if you're a bad singer like me. Just sing whatever you like, you know. I love that speaking in tongues, we get given a gift and we don't use it, eh? Hey, sing in tongues as well. Take it up a notch. Open the windows at home when you sing and let the public experience it. It'll be fantastic. Well, it is an honor to share the stage today with my wife.
We'll see about that, shall we?
So we decided we wanted to play our marriage problems out in front of you and for you to vote on who's right or wrong.
Did you see how silent the room was then? What?
People are like, are you
crazy? We haven't got
enough
time, thank you.
We don't have problems, do we?
No.
We just got many problems. But we just wanted to spend this time with you and really share from the scripture and share our hearts. We touched on a couple of things last week, and Sue's going to bring them up on the screen for me. But last week, if you remember, we did that awesome example. I'm just going to stand for a moment. Where we had the bottle of water, and we said the bottle of water was about 500 mils, and Dylan came up, and he stabbed the bottle of water, and there's water going everywhere. And then we try to fill the bottle up, which is the representation of, oh, God wants to fill us, and we can be filled, and people want to come and invest in us, but it just keeps pouring out. And we ask the question, what is now the capacity of the bottle? And everybody shouts out 10 mil, 20 mil, whatever. The capacity is the deepest wound. And whatever our deepest wound is, that'll be our capacity to carry what we're called to carry and then invest into others. Church, we are so good at dealing with surface stuff. We are so good. And when the tough conversation comes, we run. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But we kind of came up with this together. We said, here's the big ideas. God loves family. We're on a mission. And you and me are disciples. So you are a disciple. So whatever you allow to change and reform and get hold of your heart, that you'll deposit in somebody else's. So if you say no, then the journey is no, and everybody else only gets as much of you as what you've allowed God to do in your life. Why don't you flick it over, Sue? It then says, there's no problem. We talked about the fact that there's no problem with your gifting. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are the most gifted person I've ever met. It is true. It's true. There are gifts that God has given you to do. If I asked one of you to come and play those drums, like Carl play those drums, and we all let it go, I'm all for free worship, but oh my goodness, some would be awful. It just wouldn't work because he's gifted. He has rhythm. And then the Bible says that God comes and he gives us other gifts like speaking in tongues. And he says, use them. And we often don't unwrap what we have and use what we have. So we wonder why some things are not taking place. Oh, God sought the situation out and he's saying, well, I've put stuff inside of you. Begin to pray. Begin to ask me. Begin to uncover what is it. You lay hands. And then the Bible says he gives us Ephesians 4 gifts. Now, we're not all Ephesians 4 gifts. Those are people that come and sow into the life and the health of the church. So we're not our own ship doing our own thing. We have voices coming in. Awesome, Sue. So there's no problem with gifting. What's the next one? But here's the big idea we came to. There's a massive trust deficit right now sitting in our nation and probably in our world. Yep. Why? Because there's been hurt, there's been fear, there's been shame. There's my experience. And so we don't trust. And here's the classic Christian one. I trust God, but nobody else. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. Our trust for people is connected to our trust in Him. But He always chooses to use other people. So you can't actually live like that. I trust God and I trust nobody. I trust nobody else.
I think this beauty of this morning was that as the body comes together and as the body is in operation, we saw such beauty come and share amongst us. If we just left that to one person to lead our service this morning, it wouldn't have been as full and as rich. But that took a level of trust.
Yeah.
You could have come and said anything. It's just about reaching out instead that step of faith.
And then we said, what if we don't go down that journey of trust, what limits? I think it's on the next slide. It limits our impact. It limits what built. It limits who we love. It limits whether we live in this place of peace or our own empire. Mm-hmm. And it certainly limits legacy. There are generations paying for stuff that they should never pay for because we should have paid the price. Why are we always going back, we must come back to discover connection and relationship? Why are we always going back to fundamental doctrines of things when actually we got to grow and we got to mature, but that's because we ultimately don't trust? You see, Heath, this is too simple. It is. The genius of God is in His simplicity. He's not complicated. He's not making it complicated for you and me. All He wants is one thing and one thing only. He wants our hearts. Because when your heart comes, your hand opens. But there are limiting factors that take place. And I want to read the scripture to you. Proverbs 23:26. If you grab hold of any other scripture today, grab hold of this one. My son, my daughter, give me your heart. Oh, that was bad typing, Heath. Give me your heart and, it's supposed to say, let your eyes observe my ways. You see, we're saying, God, I want to do what you call me to do, but you're not prepared to give him the heart that he actually needs in order to do that. And so then we live in a nation which we call this, it's risk adverse. How many of you love risk assessments? Honestly, there's probably somebody in here who loves them. You are excited. See, Noel loves it. He loves it. But we risk adverse. And so what we do then is in the risk, we fear rejection. And what happens when we fear rejection? What do we generally do to other people? We push them away. When we fear being controlled, what do we actually do? Pushing people away. Help me out, yeah. What do? We can actually control. And so the very thing we fear doing, we end up doing ourselves because we're not prepared to open our hearts to it. And we ask the questions, who are you known by? And does your diary reflect time to be able to be known by anybody else besides your busyness? And are you prepared to just have an honest conversation with God? Are you prepared to have an honest conversation with God, an honest conversation with somebody else? And we landed on this last slide or this last thought. And we're going to take it from here. And Leah's going to just weave our way this morning. And I'm going to hopefully help out. Read that statement. Love and hurt enter your life in exactly the same way. Love and hurt enter your life in exactly the same way. Is ticking. I can see it in you. So if I shut the doors of my life, let's use the analogy of a harbor. There's a couple of harbors in the world where they can shut the water that comes in. There's like these big metal gates. They shut them. If I shut that in my head, I'm protecting myself from anything else coming in. But what am I also doing? I'm containing all the hurt and everything else that resides in there, and my doors are not open to allow anything else to come in. So I live in that pain forever long. Love and hurt enter our lives in exactly the same way. You are now going, oh my goodness, this is dangerous. Of course it is. You want to go?
So let me ask you a question. Who do you spend the most time with? Yourself, there it was from the back row. Where you go, there you are. When you try to move away from you, there you are. You are the person that you spend the most time with. When you lie down, when you get up, when you move out, when you move in, wherever you go, there you are. Who do you think you listen to the most? Yourself. You don't only listen to your conscious thoughts or your conscious beliefs about yourself, you are constantly also with your subconscious thoughts and your subconscious belief systems as well. You are with yourself for the most of the time. So let me ask you this question. How's the relationship with yourself going? Ooh, a bit of honesty over there. I like that. How's the relationship going with yourself? Now, this is not about becoming an idol and worshipping ourselves or being self-centered or egocentric. Nothing like that at all. But if we don't examine the relationship with ourselves as much as we're examining the relationship with other people, this is where trust breaks down. And we only then have a source of Jesus to look towards because we can't even trust ourselves. Never mind, we're able to trust somebody else. And so I want to get a little bit practical with you this morning after we spoke last week and this week about what it looks like when maybe we need to sort that relationship out with ourselves. Now, a few years back, Heath and I bought a house in Cwmbran. Do you remember that time?
I remember that time.
Where was I when you bought that house?
In hospital with a fractured skull.
Yeah. So we don't do things by half in our family. I had had an accident. I'd fallen and fractured my skull and landed myself a few days in hospital, lost my hearing. And at that time, this house that we had been looking at came on the market.
I'm laughing at the fact that when you're a strategist, other stuff can be happening, but you still got to do this thing.
We told you we were going to talk about our marriage today. Heath was like, I really think that we should view this property and I'm going to take two people with me. I'm going to take Chris Griffin and I'm going to take your dad because I'm going to get both ends of the spectrum and either we're going to find somewhere in the middle, we're not going to do it, or we'll definitely go for it, even though we have no idea what we're going to let ourselves in for. I'll let you decide between the two men which one's which. Anyway, Heath went and did that. He came back, he reported to me in the hospital, yes, this is what we were going to do. Strategist number one, we're going for it. We're moving forward, Leah. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to heal myself here in the hospital bed. It took me about 6 weeks to recover. I'd lost my hearing at the same time in my one ear. And so I was not hospitalized for 4 days and then in bed for 6 weeks. We at the time had a two and an 11-month-old. So life was pretty crazy. But what we then ended up doing is buying this house and we completely took it apart. We were living in a different property. It's always better to renovate that way. Let me just give you a hint of that. But we were living in a different property and we then decided that we were going to completely take the house apart. So we ripped the kitchen out. We ripped the bathrooms out. We took all the ceilings down. We ripped the wiring out. We completely deconstructed the house that we just built.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
But you can't live in somebody else's house while you do that to your own house.
No, you can't. That's a tricky one to work out.
Yeah.
What we then saw for the few weeks and few months after that is it looked like it stayed in that derelict state and that actually not much was happening at all, or at least not much of what we could see was actually happening. But what indeed was actually happening was there was a lot of important wires being laid. There was a lot of putting the wires and pipes in for the heating systems. There was new lights, new ceilings being done. But there wasn't much pleasant to the eye to look at. And then, of course, once all that really hard and skilled labour work was done, we were able to go in and make the place look very aesthetically pleasing. And we enjoyed 5 years there, didn't we?
And sold it for more.
Thank you, Jesus, for that blessing.
Good strategy.
If we had done the risk assessment, we would never have done it.
Yeah.
I even said to Heath after that, we will never do this again. And the next house we bought was also a renovation project. We're living to tell the tale, people. We're now in a house where there's no renovation project. We got to understanding where we needed to rest in the end. But I use that example to say that sometimes when we are looking at the wounds in our life, when we're thinking about the relationship with ourselves, sometimes we have to pull out the old ways of doing things. Sometimes we have to actually get rid of some of the things that are old and familiar to us in order for some work to go on that is actually unseen. if we're not able to take that time, if we're not able to reflect, if we're not able to spend time processing some of life's hurts, and we've all got life's hurts in one way, shape or form, and where there's a lot of work that can be done that is unseen, we don't actually get to produce some nice and pretty aesthetic pleasing. You know, the more that the relationships, those heart things, those wounds that we've talked about last week get talked about, get processed, and also get into a place of healing and allowing the Holy Spirit to touch us and allowing God's working power of healing to seep and to come into those places, the better of the version of ourselves we become. We all know those people we need to avoid. They're a bit spiky, you know, and you're like, ooh. That left me feeling a little uncomfortable. Often, that's not you. There's nothing wrong with you. It is about what is going on in the inside of somebody. And you know that person that is also warm and heartfelt, and you could just melt into their arms and feel super, super safe. And those are the people that often have been doing the work of their heart. They've been doing the unseen work. Now, there's no condemnation here either. You know, once we're saved and Jesus is fully in love with us and you're fully in love with him, there is no condemnation here in how we then track the rest of our lives. But do you want to live in a smaller version of yourself, or do you want to live in a fuller version of yourself?
Leah asked me a question once around this. She said, what pain do I want to live in? I thought that's an interesting question. And sometimes, you know, I don't know about you, as your body gets a little older, you get pains in your body. And sometimes we live with them. And very rarely do we often stop and go, I'm going to sort them out, or I want to fix them, or I want to get to the bottom of them. But we live with certain pains in our life that have started years and years and years ago. And what we do is we box them or we put them away. But in order to address those things and to truly go into the depths of these journeys, we have to go not even to just deal with that pain, but beyond that, because it is tough when you renovate the house and you rip it apart, when you get back to the brick, when you start to dig under the floors and you find another issue. You see, if your issue doesn't bring you to the cross, it's not the real issue. If you can solve the issue on your own all the time, I'm not sure it's the real issue. If your issue is solved in 2 minutes, it's not the real issue. And the problem with the church that we have today is not strategy. We've got enough strategy to change the world in the church. We've got all the big plans. We've got the new ministries coming in. We've got the new ideas, and we hear it over and over again. The problem is we won't go to the depth of the heart of things. The problem is the church won't actually examine themselves and take time, because what happens if we don't do this program and stop and go, God, you are worth me stopping and listening, because my heart surgery is actually going to have exponential value on this. Yeah. It's going to have an impact. But the things that get in our way, we see as essential when they're not really essential. Well, I must work this many hours because of money. Well, I must do this because of, and you can put whatever you like in there. But are you prepared? I don't care what age you are right now. Are you prepared to go to the depths of the heart journey, which involves the picture of the house? And you might be thinking to yourself right now, Heath, but I don't know if I can trust again. Wisdom says you be careful who you trust. Mm. But to be perfectly honest with you, I'm sitting here as a shepherd, one of the shepherds of this house. It really sucks sometimes, and I'll just put my heart on the line. When you sit as a shepherd, God's placed you here in order to actually journey with people, but they won't be honest and come and just journey with you because of what? Judgment or shame or whatever else. Well, we can stay in that pain, or we can risk it. The greatest leaders that ever lived are actually ones that are prepared to go, I'm going to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go there. Because it's not because of their qualifications or their gifting or anything else. It's because they're prepared to go on the heart journey that then they're able to shape other people. But I wrote this down last night, and we sat together, and we live in these extreme places. We live in the place of either pride or shame. Opposite ends of the spectrum. I don't know where you're living right now on that spectrum. We sometimes live in the place of consumerism. I'm here today on Sunday just to get something, and I'm going to rate the service, and afterwards I'll return or not based on what I thought. Or we live in the other side of it, extreme servanthood. In order to be accepted, I must do, 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 I must do. You know, and Mike said something to me once now. He said, you know, there's a radical balance. Somebody else told me, don't go for balance. But there's actually a radical middle to hold on to. Most of our lives in Scripture, we are holding on to tensions all the time. And we're between these tensions and we're holding. If you've got a trampoline in your garden or you've ever had one, the only way you bounce on that thing is tension. You have to have all those springs pulling so that you can bounce it. If you don't, it's not happening. And so get used to the fact that in Scripture, in our lives, we have to hold tensions. And we don't want to be prideful, but we don't want to sit with shame. And we don't want to be a consumer, but sometimes we are. But we don't want to sit there serving, serving, serving. I've seen people serve in church. I've seen couples serve in church and not sit together for 3 years. 3 years. We can give them a medal for servanthood, but there's no medals for journeying this thing through together. And so we sit in these extremes, and those extremes cripple us from what we're called to do, and we never trust again.
I've seen preachers get up and preach on servant-heartedness, which is true. I am not knocking that at all. We all need to be servant-hearted. But the people who often respond to the servant-hearted message are those that are already servant-hearted and then kill themselves even a little bit more by denying what their own needs are to put everybody else's needs before theirs. And that's a real dangerous place. If you are constantly, always putting somebody else before you and then never attending to your own garden. Because what happens in that is there is neglect that actually happens in your own garden while you're tending and making everybody else's garden pretty. But on the reverse scale of that, which is where the tension needs to come in, is we have preached consumerism, or even how I started this morning, how is the relationship with yourself? And let's focus in on I for a moment. And where is the self-forgiveness happening? Where is the self-compassion actually happening? And then we have people who completely go off and go, oh, well, it's okay. If I just look after me, I don't need to tend to anybody else. And yet somebody in the room needs the gift that you are carrying so that they can be blessed by you. And you have got something to offer the other person. And so we're often dealing with the extremes. And yet actually what we need to be doing is finding the radical middle.
Yeah. But in order to do that, you're not going to say one prayer and it's just going to change it. God is a very practical God. And if you're not prepared to be known by somebody, if you're not prepared to sit down and look at this Google diary and say, okay,
I don't do Google diary.
Or whatever diary, Apple diary. Whatever diary you use, paper diary. You almost can't afford not to make space. And whatever space you give, it will be filled. And if you don't address your defaults, it'll be filled whatever your default is. I must work more. I must prove more. I must do more. You know, they did a survey on companies that there are certain workers working. There are workers who do the least, are just going to make it. And then there are those who do the absolute above and beyond that they've ever been asked for. We sit in extremes. Yeah. And we hear the language in the workplace, well, I'm doing it because they didn't do it. And so you're crippling yourself and they're having a free ride, or vice versa. They're having a free ride thinking, I haven't got to do it because you're doing it. But you are worth making space in your diary in order to actually deal with who you are right now. Because if we don't go there, the result is that nobody else really gets invested in. They maybe get blessed. They maybe get touched for a moment. But it's almost like it's not the Zacchaeus moment where Jesus says, I'm dwelling with you, that's actually going to change the whole of the city in this region. Mm-hmm. Jesus touched the guy on the walk. If you know the story, he laid hands on him, he was healed. Amazing. But he went and dwelt with Zacchaeus. And when he dwelt with Zacchaeus, a whole village and city changed. Why? Because the whole economy changed because somebody's heart was truly touched. If our hearts are truly dealt with, then things shift.
What I love about the room that I'm sat in right now is that there are many, many different types of people. There are many different personalities. There are many different strengths. There are many different weaknesses. And like we shared last week about the body fully working together, it is the beauty of the messiness of all of that that brings about the freedom that we all long for and want and desire after. Hence the name on the tin and the name on the church is Liberty Church. We want liberty. That's why we come into this place. We want to experience places of liberty. We know in 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We love that verse, right? Is he here? Yeah, he's here. So there's freedom. Absolutely. But do you know that you only collide and crash into freedom experiencing pain on the way? Because when we meet our pain, that is where the divine can come in and actually the breakthrough happens and then liberty is experienced. So, you know, nearly 7 years ago now, Heath and I chatting together again and the Lord impresses Isaiah 61 verse 4 on our hearts and we're like, we're going to see an ancient place restored and renewed and rebuilt. We had no idea we were just going to crash into being restored, rebuilt and the other one renewed ourselves. Not only physically in the actual house that we were living in, that we were restoring, rebuilding and renewing, but that actually the external journey that we were seeing with our own eyes happening was going to become an internal journey. Is he perfect? Far from it. Am I perfect? Far from it.
I can suggest some improvements.
I'll take those improvements. Because on the other side of the improvements, there is freedom. Because when we talk, when we walk together, and it's not easy. You know, last week I went home and I was telling Heath, why didn't you just let the water spill everywhere? You can't control hurt. You can't control stabbing a bottle. You should have had the stage wet and the floor wet, because when somebody gets hurt, it spills over everybody, right? Now, for the sake of the example, and for logic to happen, Heath brought a bowl. But again, there's just that difference that when we're trekking together, when we're walking side by side, when we're walking brother and sister together, there is a fullness and a beauty that can happen so that we can experience the Spirit of the Lord. We also know in John 8:32 that it says, you will know the truth, and it's actually the truth that sets you free. And so we're not sharing anything other than what the Word of God can actually do in our lives. We're not moving away from the Word of God for some form of logic or for some form of process or for some form of emotional intelligence. But we're understanding that when we understand ourselves, when we understand how we're wired and how we tick and how we are happy and how we're sad, some of us have never understood how we work like that. And yet there's a really beautiful place within that that is able, if we have some understanding, to fully draw us into a place of freedom and liberty. But why don't we go there? Because it's messy. Because sometimes I'm not kind in that. Because sometimes I don't know how to be myself in that. Sometimes I've never been given permission to be messy. Sometimes I've never known who I can trust because nobody has said, you can trust me. And no, you're right. You can't. There's always going to be the extremes. You can't just go out there and just be like, okay, there's the man on the street. I'm going to tell him all my problems. We have to have an element of wisdom. But if we lean too hard into wisdom, we never risk it on the people that actually can bring about a fullness to us, therefore moving us into a place of liberty, into a wider open space, into a place of being more comfortable with the God-given gift that you are.
So many thoughts running through my head. No, it's okay. I'm a fixer. I don't know where you've said, I see a problem, I want to fix it. My theory is that it brings you out of your pain. Actually, it helps me not be in discomfort because you're causing me an issue because you're going through pain. And I have to ask...
He means that with all love.
I ask myself that question in our marriage. Did I trust the process that God wanted to take us through, or did I just want to try and fix the situation so that it wouldn't cause me discomfort? Because what I really want is my wife to my wife to look pretty. That's it.
Break out. Break out.
I want my wife to look pretty. To the pretty, there not to be many problems, and at the end of the night we have sex.
That's a man in a nutshell.
Maybe it's not you, but actually, as you dive into marriage, it doesn't work like that, does it? Some of you are not wanting to answer my question right now. Some of you are being squeezed by the hand, or kicked.
Walking on eggshells.
But this is reality. And so whenever a problem came up, I'm like, oh my goodness, let's just fix this problem. Because if we fix the problem, we can go back to, that's lovely.
But in our house, if we'd plastered over all of the cracks, and if we had not dealt with the electricity, if we'd not dealt with the plumbing work, later on down the line, we would have had more of a problem than stripping it back and dealing with the issues that we find.
The plumbing is not an analogy about me, just so we're clear. Some of you, that'll come later.
We're talking about houses. It may be your problem. We can help you with that.
But if you don't deal with those things, and so what happened is I either get frustrated in the process of trying to fix it or deal with it, or frustrated with my wife in the process of the house renovation, meaning in our lives, not the actual physical building. And then I realize I don't actually have as much grace for this lady as I should have. I don't have as much patience, and I don't trust God with the process because it's not happening in my time scales. Because my marriage is going to be better than any other marriage I've ever seen, and a better marriage looks like this. No, a better marriage actually looks like the journey. A better relationship looks like the journey. A better friendship looks like the journey. It looks like there's grace and understanding. And it sometimes looks like, men, you on your knees, on your own, saying, God, give me wisdom here. Men, it looks like you going to another man and saying, won't you help me in this area? Guys, we got to get a little bit more vulnerable as men in how we're actually dealing with things. Because the stats are no different in the church than they're outside of the church. Why? Because actually we're not being honest with ourselves.
This is where we understand that sometimes we are shaped more by the culture that we've come out of, or by the family of origin that we've grown up in, or by external circumstances, that we don't realize that actually when Jesus talks about family and coming into family and into the body, that there is a fullness in the body, because culture has said men don't cry and women do. You may not always be consciously thinking that, but there is a subconscious that happens in our culture. There'll be many different cultural norms here, British. British are highly unvulnerable. You know, we were actually out for lunch on Friday, and we were sat around a table. I was with two ladies, Christine and Nicolette. I'm going to name and shame you. And it was like, just make it pretty. Just don't worry about it. Don't fuss. And Nicolette was like, no, I want lemon in my juice. And I was like, okay, you ask for lemon in your juice. And the very Britishness of me was to shrink away and be like, don't make a fuss. And Nicolette was, no, I want. So she knew her mind. And it's a beautiful place sometimes where we are so governed by our cultural norms sometimes that we don't break out into kingdom norms that say it's absolutely okay to know your own mind. It's absolutely okay to say what you need. And yet we're so busy scurrying away, say, don't make a fuss, just make it pretty, make it nice, fix it and it will be okay. You know, there are some things that are not fixable. I know that doesn't bring you much hope right now, but there are some things that are not fixable. There is a mystery that we're walking out. That's what makes God God. If everything had a tidy box or a tick box answer, it would be way more of a religion than it would actually be a relationship with a God who is full of mystery. And so you'll find people all the time asking questions, well, is God good or is he bad? That answer there is, he is good, but to the person who sees only badness, they're not coming to the understanding of the mystery of how God can be good in all circumstances. We're missing it sometimes with the truth, with the word that is a lamp unto our feet, that actually he is the leader of our life. He is the one that is taking us on a journey. He is the one that is directing us. But he's using all of these other beautiful ways and streams and meanders and the mystery of life to be able to share about the beauty that he has for us.
You know, when Leah said, what's your relationship like with yourself? I think that's just a great question.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't know how to go to that question. You sit with yourself and you don't even know how to concentrate in that moment. Can I give you a practical? Find somebody that you're willing to just allow yourself to talk to. You will soon discover what the relationship is like with yourself. And the Bible says, think on things that are good and lovely, pure,
noble,
holy. When you think about yourself and you have conversations with yourself, are those the things you think on? Because we often say, oh, I'm going to think on those things for others. But others actually don't receive the authentic power of that and the depth of it and the anointing of it if we don't begin to process it in our own lives. You are a good person because you are created by a good God. You are a gifted person because you are created by a gifted God. You are a person with a destiny because God said, I know the beginning from the end.
You are an overcomer.
Because God is an overcoming God. And so you can't, by speaking opposite to that, you're actually almost sticking two fingers up to God and say to you when he calls out what you are all the time. And so today, as we kind of bring this thing to a close, and we could go on and on and on, and we're happy to have these conversations with anybody. I love the fact when people say, have you got time to just come and have this conversation? We need to, with each other, dwell with more understanding. When you go and listen to somebody today, listen to gain understanding, not to bring a solution. I'm telling you that from experience. I listen to bring a solution. Because if I fix your problem, I don't have to think about it. And I've been in a room so long that people turn to me and go, Heath, how are we going to fix a problem? And I have staked my reputation on fixing problems. I'll get us out of this mess. Now, I'm a leader. I'm going to get us out of some messes. But it's also a case that I don't know. And my reputation and my value is not based on fixing a problem. It's just based on being whom I'm called to be.
We can have such a mentality sometimes that we need to be all fixed and okay before we actually operate before we do something.
Yeah.
You'll find that even meeting people on the street, it's a case of like, okay, well, I'll fix my life up and then I'll come to church.
Yeah.
Like, what sort of message are we giving out there if we're saying, yeah, fix your life out before you come in? No, bring your messiness. Bring what you have to the place where actually love can also be entertained in that space. For Heath and I as leaders, we can think, oh, well, we can't have a bad day because we need to be okay and present and all like together to lead everybody else to where we want to go. And that's just a lie that is not even attainable. Hmm. Like, it's okay that we have a bad day. It's okay that sometimes we don't have all our P's and Q's in the right place. But sometimes we put the pressure on ourselves before we even put the pressure on anybody else.
Yeah.
We would never expect one of our team to turn up being perfect all the time or having all of their ducks in a row. In fact, that's the message we preach. No, let your ducks quack. They can be all over the place. And yet, we're putting ourselves under our own pressure to be able to have the ducks in a row. And so that comes back down again to the relationship with yourself. How would you treat another person? If you're a mother or a father in this place, think about how you speak to a child when they're hurt. How do you speak to a child when they've done something wrong? How do you speak to a child when they've done something that you know they shouldn't have done and they've done it anyway? Some of us may not be as gracious as others. But when we understand that's how we would respond as a parent, why do we think that God himself would treat us as his children, because that's all who we are, any differently? And so again, self-compassion. It's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not do it right sometimes. It's okay to really screw it up and mess it up. It's okay to not know how to get out of the tunnel. It's okay that you are just bewildered by what life is going on around you and you're not sure what to do next. It's okay to be messy. And you may meet people who are not okay with your messiness. And that too is also okay.
Yeah.
Because they are also on a journey where at some point they're going to have to come crashing involved with their messiness.
I want to land it with this. Yeah. I read this morning and I was trying to put it together. It's from the book of Hosea. And if you know anything about the book of Hosea, God asks Hosea to marry a prostitute. And, you know, I don't know how many of you would be excited about that. That's great, God. Thank you so much. You know, but God says, I'm never leaving you or forsaking you in this journey. Yeah. And when he marries her and you read the story and you've got to go home and read it, I haven't got time to summarize it all. It feels like this, that he says to Hosea, your life is going to be a picture of my story as you, me, and others are going to get the opportunity to tell the story of my redemptive power, my goodness, my love, and my kindness. And if you read through Hosea, you see all the stuff he has to track. But you see the bomb of hope that comes in the middle. And then you see the outcome. And you and me are not Hosea. But we are who we are. And God wants to come in and tell a story with you to show the world that he is a redemptive, loving God, full of grace and full of mercy. And the only way that story gets told, if you say, yes, I want to be a part of the story. You see, a book never goes to publish unless the words actually go to somebody to check it. It goes to publish and then it's able to be bought. And then hopefully it's able to be read. Your and my life is being read all the time. The question is, what story are people reading? And if we say yes, practically, God, I'm going to give you some time. God, I'm going to make room for people in my life. It is messy. It is hurt. It's hard. It's tough. It sucks. It's not always good. You got to dig through some stuff. You got to get some other people to come knock down some walls with you. But there is a place of hope. And on the journey, others see, man, I can do that. Man, I can go through a bit of demolition. What do we do when we demolish our house? You can walk in there and try and do it yourself practically. Or you go and get advice from people who've done it before. Why do we go to our mechanic to fix our car, our doctor to fix our bones and whatever else they do? We go to the person in the grocery store to help us what we buy. We go to an insurance broker to deal with insurance, but we try and deal with our spirits on our own. Why? Why? Why are we so? We're not shameful when our car breaks down. Oh my goodness, my car, let me hide it. Let me put it in the garage. What a stupid place to put a broken car. The best place is call the mechanic and get it fixed. Oh, my tooth is falling out. It's absolute rotten. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to continue like this. And I'm going to be in absolute agony. No, you ring the dentist. You know, my kids are not doing so well in school. You guys talk to the school teacher. But as believers in Christ, we take our stuff and we hide it. And we're not prepared to. And then we come out with this. Well, God has said. If God hasn't said, quit saying it, because you're actually putting up a blockade for anybody else to come in. Because I'm not steaming past your God has said. I can't. I can't steam past that. Let's just be honest. I'm thinking, maybe. Leave room. Put a comma in the sentence. Don't put a full stop. I'm done. You're not done. I feel like I'm done, comma. I feel like I can't go on, comma. I think God is maybe saying this, but there's room. Even Paul said it. We're going this way, but maybe. Yeah, yeah. We're not that arrogant. Even when we planted this church, you were meant to plant this church. I cannot say that 100% still now. I can't say it. We've done the best that we can with what God has entrusted us to. Now, some of you may look and go, of course we must. Of course you did the right thing, maybe, but I'm not sure I can dwell with that sort of level of arrogance personally. I don't think I can. But actually, we do the best of what we can. Won't you begin to do the simple things well? Open your Bibles, because it's the living word. Pray, because it's talking to Jesus. And be the body and allow others into your life. Heath, that's too simple. What about it? What about other people? Can I trust them? Well, if we're praying, if we're opening our word and we're listening to God, the Bible says, I will lead you. So guess what? Somebody will walk up to you and go, and you think, is this the one? And your discernment say, no, it's not right now. It's somebody else. We're not led by our own reason. We're led by Him. And God brings us into relationship. We can't sit as a family in Liberty Church and say, this is my family, and this is, but I trust no one. I will not let anybody else in my life. Those people up there on that stage, forget it. Not allowing them. That's not family. Church, if we're going to change Wales, we're going to change our nation, we're going to do all of that, which we shout about all the time, well, what we've done before ain't working in the last 100 years. And I think, and we think, this is a journey into our heart. Won't you stand with me, if you can? Francois, I was just going to play, because it's nice with a bit of atmosphere. We're not going to sing long songs or... The real conversation here is you and God, not me. It's you and God. And you may be about to say yes to a journey that the pain level is going to go up, but all the breakthrough level is also going to go up. We are okay with mess. We are okay with stuff. Do you know the greatest moment of victory is you saying, this is who I really am? Because He's already got the victory.
Just put your hand on your heart with me and shut your eyes. Father, we just thank You that You're the one that leads us, that You're the one that guides us, that You're the one that has so much unconditional love that You just want to penetrate and saturate every area of our lives. That there is nothing in our past, there's nothing in our present, and there's nothing in our future that can't be healed and processed, and that love can't seep in and saturate those places. Thank You, God, that You are a good God and that You have made us good. Lord, I thank You that You said You will renew your minds. Help us in our unbelief, that we wouldn't keep believing those things that are lies about ourselves, but that we would lean in. Help us to call one another out when we see ourselves or someone else leaning into lies, and that we would help to put on the right path of truth that will lead us into a spacious place of liberty. We thank You for freedom. We thank You for the wide open spaces. And God, I thank You for every heart in this room. For any heart that doesn't know You right now, I pray that as they cry out to the name of Jesus, that they would experience and know salvation in their life. For every piece of a heart, for every brokenness that is being offered right here now on an altar, I pray wholeness, I pray forgiveness, I pray that a sense of how worthy we actually are would be known. Father, I thank You that You value us, and our value can't be increased by the more that we do, and it doesn't decrease by the bad things we do. Our value is set in You. Our value is set in You. Father, I thank you for the hearts that are questioning right now, for the hearts that are saying yes to the journey, for the hearts that want to know more, for the hearts that need to be healed. I pray laborers into these situations. I pray, Father, that people would cut across people's path, maybe people they never thought that they would come into contact with, but that you would send people, that you would send people to go about the work that needs to happen in our hearts. Father, help Heath and I even to stay humble on this journey, to be able to know when our hearts need correcting, for people to be able to approach us and say, hey, you said you were okay with messiness. Help us to be okay with messiness. Help us to be undone so that more life and glory will be given to God himself, that it is the God of heaven who knew us, who has called us, who has destined us, who has a plan for us, a future for us, and a hope for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all the hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I just, as I stand here as a guy, men, won't you do me a favor? Where you stood, don't have to. Just take a little step forward. You might hit the back of the chair, the one in front of you. Father, I pray for every man in this room. Father, I pray for our hearts. So many pictures of what we should or shouldn't be. But Lord, we call to be your children, your sons. You're okay with our mess. God, I bless these men with vulnerability and accountability. I bless these men to find deep friendships, not to teach one another. Just let me read you the scripture and tell you something, but to listen to one another. I bless the men to be real and honest. I bless the men to go on journeys they've never been on before. To be authentic men. In Jesus' name.
Just being confirmed to me, but I just really feel that there is a moment here. And that actually we often call forward for healing, and we're thinking predominantly with our physical bodies or with physical ailments that we have. But actually, if you're emotionally broken here today, there's no judgment. This is a safe place here at the front. We would just love you to come forward so that we can lay hands on you. It's not the fullness and it's not the answer there, but it is the start and the anointing and the power of laying on of hands and saying yes to the journey. So as Francois prays now, and we just have this moment of worship, would you come to the front, and we're just going to lay hands on you and just agree with the process. We're going to agree with what God is doing in your hearts.